This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, I'm Beyond the Mic. Hour number two coming at you 11 o'clock, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Grab the podcast if you ever miss anything. It's Beyond the Mic, Spotify, Apple, all those places. Lots to get to today. By the way, whole hour in the books. We touched on a lot of things. British soccer, which I'll get back to in a second. NBA, NHL, college sports, of course, NFL. They ran the Belmont over the weekend. And here's how I found out they ran the Belmont over the weekend. I came in this morning, and I plan out the week ahead. We try to get you, you know, a great show here every day. You know, have things to talk about, topics to talk about, guests coming in who know what they're talking about. All that sort of thing. And I thought, it should be about time for the Belmont. Maybe we get a horse racing person on. Because they're always the horse racing industry, betting people, I don't know, the horse racing people, the horses, are always emailing me. Hey, can we get on your show? Can we have somebody come talk about horse racing? We want to talk about, like, they are the most accessible people in the world. Anytime we need a guest to come on and talk horse racing, we're going to get taken care of by I guess, big horse. I don't know. The horse racing industry. So I thought, this is bit season, right? Everybody understands that. It's mini camp week, so we're going to talk a ton of Commanders this week, and I'm fired up to talk a ton of Commanders with y'all because I'm excited for this upcoming season. But, you know, we like to mix it up as well. And so you say, okay, can we get a Belmont guest on? I think the Belmont's this weekend. So I went and looked, and apparently the Belmont was on Saturday. Oops. So the Belmont has happened. Journalism lost in the Belmont to Sovereignty, who won the Kentucky Derby. So now, you know, that's what happened at the Belmont. And now you're in the know. I think the French Open stole the niche sports interest. That's probably unfair to tennis. Tennis is way bigger of a deal than horse racing. But what happened? Five sets. You know, first Coco Gauff wins, then the five set thing. It was a lot of tennis energy this weekend, and I think that left us as Americans, as patriots, as countrymen, just without a lot of brain space available for horse racing. So we didn't devote any brain space to horse racing. I didn't. I'm sure lots of people watched. It's a Triple Crown race. It was the winners of the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness going against each other. I'm sure it was a great scene, a great time. I just completely missed it, was what happened there. The other French Open thing, Coco Gauff posted, you know, TikTok, a reel, whatever she posted. If you win the French Open, they give you the big trophy. You hold it up. Everybody celebrates. They take pictures with it. That's not actually the trophy you get. That's like the permanent trophy. It's like a Stanley Cup kind of situation, right? Like that's the Stanley Cup. It stays forever in its home. But you get a replica of the trophy to keep. But what's wild is the replica is like 3 inches tall. So she would post a video of her on the plane coming home with like this thing. Is like, I won the most tickets at Chuck E. Cheese over the weekend. Look what I got. Step up your game, French Open. Also, I went down the rabbit hole on this because I'm like, well, what does Nadal's trophy case look like? And it does, in fact, look like a bunch of giant, really awesome trophies and like 20 like little dinky Chuck E. Cheese trophies. Like I exchanged my tickets for this. Congratulations, Mr. Nadal. Here's your little trophy. I don't change at this point. Don't change French Open. Because that's a great bit. We don't get enough mileage out of that bit. And in bit season, we need good bits. Been updated on this Crystal Palace situation. All right, so yes, they've never won, you know, major tournament before, so they've never gotten to participate in one of these, you know, Europa leagues, the big leagues, and they get to next year. But the guy who owns the team also owns a team in France. It's part of the Europa League, and there was a March 1st deadline to sign paperwork saying that you were going to put the team into a blind trust to avoid this situation happening. Now, I understand here why he didn't put the team in the blind trust, because they'd never won anything. But I guess the deadline was March 1st. UEFA, which is the European Soccer Federation, is like, sorry, you missed the deadline. My understanding is, from brief Twitter correspondence here, is that this is like a riots in the street situation if they hold them out. Because you know the allegations are everybody's cheating all the time in British soccer, in European soccer, period. Everybody's bending the rules. Everybody's cooking the books to circumvent these financial restrictions they put in place. And be like, well, if this is finally where they put their foot down for this feel-good story of a club that's never done something nice before and tells them they can't do it, this could be an actual honest-to-goodness riots in the street situation we have on our hands here, which I love a good soccer riot. I feel bad for a country, but this is great content. Feel bad for their continent, but this is great content. What would it take to get Commanders fans like actually mad enough that they rioted in the streets? Like, by the way, it would be easy enough, like SEC football. Like, we can crank up some scenarios there where they're on Toomer's Corner, like burning things to the ground. That's not hard to do. The SEC, the passion, right? Like Gainesville is one realignment away from being turned back into actual swampland. That's the SEC. It just means more. What would it take for Commanders fans to like travel downtown on the Metro, march en masse, demanding the overturning of whatever decision it was, right? Because it didn't happen during the Dan Snyder days. There were silent protests. People quit coming to the games. There were paper bag over the head protests. There was the time everybody booed Tanya on the video board, which I don't think gets enough credit as being an impetus for the sale of the team. I really don't. It was it was the year with all the noise, all the, you know, the sexual harassment, all the congressional investigation, the stadium which just wasn't getting off the ground, all that. Tanya Snyder started the NFL's breast cancer campaign, the where they used to wear pink and now it's about all the cancers, and she was the brains behind that and got that started at the NFL level. So every year in October they do the breast cancer game. And the survivors come out, and she comes out, and they cheer because you cheer breast cancer survivors. That's just basic human policy. That's my basic human policy, at least. When you say, here's a field full of breast cancer survivors, I don't boo. That's just me. But what happened in this year was, I don't remember if it was COVID or what, but they showed a video, and they showed the video of the breast cancer survivors. Everybody applauded the breast cancer survivors because people are decent. At their core, people are decent human beings. But then they cut to a shot of just Tanya in the owner's box, and everybody let loose, and everybody started booing. It was kind of a jarring thing, and I understand it to be a jarring thing for her and for the family. And I don't think that moment gets enough run as an impetus for the selling of the team. Now, that's not quite like in the streets riot soccer style protests that we're talking about here, but it's something. It was certainly close for sure. I think, like, you know, the Mavericks trading Luka, right? Like if the Skins traded Jaden, that feels like that would be as close as we could get. But like, Jaden's gonna have to win a Super Bowl first to get it to riot level. If they trade Jaden tomorrow, like, the lines would be full. We'd have a busy show. I'd be mad. I'd be yelling louder than this. But also, I don't think people would be marching on the street. If he won a couple Super Bowls and then it happened, like still in his prime, like if the Chiefs traded Mahomes, I think that's what it would take. I think it would have to be something at that level. That or like a full shutting down of the team. Like, we can't make the finances work. A relocation for sure, right? Hey, this isn't working here. We're moving out to Salt Lake City. Peace out, y'all. That's the sort of thing that would trigger it. But man, British soccer, Josh Harris, fans might be whipped into a rioting frenzy. We love to see the passion. We've got the mini camp schedule here. I told you we'd relay that when we got it to you. Dan Quinn's going to talk in the noon hour tomorrow. And then there will be various interviews on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Thursday is going to be the short practice, the get out of here day. That will be the final practice before they break for training camp for the summer. And we'll see them in late July when we're out there sweating our butts off on the fields in Ashburn. I do want to dive back into college sports. It's a very important weekend in college sports, and I want to get back into that. So I will, because it's my show, and you're listening to it, and we appreciate that. It's MP on the mic. You're listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
910 1051 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Lots to get to, but I want to spend a lot of time this morning on the future of college sports. We call it the news dump. That's when, if you have bad news, like as a company, there's certain times you tell people the bad news. So Friday afternoon, about 4:30 p.m. is peak news dump time. Right, it's during the workday. So no, you can't make me work on a weekend. It's during the workday, but everybody's mentally checked out. So you register the outrage, then you go home for the weekend, then you're over, right? People get laid off on Fridays. That's just, you know, everybody goes home, then you're over it on Monday. You come back and go to work. So that's the news dump. Remember when they had the Wilkinson investigation into Dan Snyder, and there was a lot of confusion about what happened. Let me shed some light on that. They announced the findings on July 2nd, going into the 4th of July weekend. That's how you know they weren't proud of whatever that is. And it was not something that they wanted people talking about for very long. So, Friday night, this is, even by my standards, 10 p.m. on Friday night, in June, in the summer, they send down word that the government has approved the settlement in the House v. NCAA, the NCAA revenue sharing agreement is officially approved and will officially go in to process. And that's, I mean, that's what you need to know about that. Friday night, 10 p.m. And now we scramble, right? They thought they were going to do this in the spring. This takes effect this year, like the football season that's coming up that we're all thinking about, that's the one that's going to be subject to these new rules. Judge Claudia Wilkin has approved the House v. NCAA settlement. Schools will operate this year, year one, under a $20.5 million revenue share cap. So let's break down what this is. Let's talk about what it means. Let's talk about how the local schools are going to be impacted. Let's talk about how the different sports are going to be impacted, because there's a lot to unpack here, because for the first time ever, college athletes are no longer amateur student athletes. College athletes can be paid directly by the school. Now, this is not the end of litigation, just to be clear. We're going to go into Title IX in a second. There's huge Title IX implications here, massive Title IX implications that will have to be decided in a courtroom. No matter what this settlement says about it being the end of lawsuits, it is not the end of lawsuits. Many more lawsuits are to come, Title IX obviously being the first one of that group, and we'll dive into that. But to start with, this is not making the players employees of the school. This does not contractually obligate the schools to turn the athletes into employees. This is still under the cover of name, image, and likeness, NIL revenues. And that's one of the ways they're trying to get around the Title IX legal stipulations. So this does not mean they get health insurance. This does not mean anything of the sorts, right? That's still future litigation. But it does mean, for right now, that these guys will get paid, the athletes will get paid directly from the school, probably as contractors, probably without tax being taken out. So they are all in for a big surprise. As somebody who's freelanced before, as somebody who's, you know, done the 1099 thing before, they are in for a surprise in April. So hopefully that's something that they get the messaging out on as well. So here's what happens. And I just want to break this down in simplest terms here. Every school can share a portion of its revenue, that you heard the cap. The cap is $20.5 million this year with the student athletes. That is not the be all and end all of what the athletes can make. So that's one of the trickier ends of this here. This is NIL from the school as it relates to the revenues the schools make off the athletes. The athletes can get other NIL deals externally, right? Okay, so that's your loophole. Now, they've built some protections in to try to limit this system because we all know right now what's going on. Every school has its own collective. Those collectives pay the athletes way, way more than they're getting in value from them. It's a way of giving money to players under the table. The new agreement sets up a group called NIL Go, which will be the clearinghouse for all NIL deals and will ensure that they happen at market rate. All right, so here's what was distributed to the schools. You submit the NIL deal between the player and the company and the organization. After submission, NIL Go analyzes the information to determine if it is cleared, not cleared, or flagged for additional review. If the deal is not cleared, student athletes can revise the deal and resubmit, cancel the deal, or appeal to a neutral arbitrator. If they continue with the deal, despite it being denied, they may face enforcement consequences, which include loss of eligibility. So to break that down, Jack Clark does his put on a suit thing before VCU basketball games. They put the ad on the Jumbotron, Better Menswear featuring Jack Clark. That's legal now. And that doesn't count against VCU's money, right? The $5 million that VCU says it's going to pay its men's basketball team out of pocket, you know, from the school budget this year. That is separate from that. That doesn't count against that. If that happens at Alabama, that happens on top of the $20.5 million. The $20.5 still happens. It doesn't cut into that at all. What this says is this group, NIL Go, and this is kind of the central thing. You're going to be hearing a lot about this over the summer into the fall. NIL Go will get the contract between Better Menswear and Jack Clark and will review if it is a fair market deal or not. In other words, are they appropriately compensating him for what it would having him in the ad wearing a suit, or are they paying him an outrageous amount of money and teams are trying to use this as a loophole in the thing? This is going to get complicated and this is going to get messy because what is a fair market deal for Better Menswear, right? We're going to push this to the edge. We're going to push this to the edge until somebody gets their deal denied. They're going to sue over this. That's when the chaos happens in college sports. Now, you've also got, let's just go to the most extreme example because it's summer. We're contractually obligated to talk about her every day. Caitlin Clark. She's a basketball player, by the way. You may or may not be familiar with her. She plays basketball. That's never what we talk about when we talk about her, but actually, and this is very interesting. I was excited to learn this, does play basketball from time to time. Caitlin Clark, in her final year at Iowa, I think very reasonably could have had an NIL deal with, let's say, Gatorade for $3 to $5 million a year. I don't think that would be a reach at all to say her worth to Gatorade as an endorser would be $5 million or a Nike deal, right? Or whatever it is. So in a salary capped world, $20.5 million, she essentially exists outside of the cap, right? Iowa could pay her and Iowa would pay her, but percentage wise, they're capped on that, right? Because that $20.5 million is all athletes, all sports. So whatever they want to pay her, they pay her. But then as she comes in, she brings in her own money on top of that. That's going to be way bigger than that. Now, that's obviously an outlier example, but there are a number of college athletes, football and basketball in particular, who are bringing in money that is far and beyond what this system is accounting for. What will NIL Go think about that, right? Because they're just determined if this is a fair market deal. if Caitlin Clark submits, I got $5 million from Gatorade, they have to clear. They have to make her eligible. How does that change her recruitment? How does that change, you know, she now has value to this school in a way they don't before because she essentially expands their salary cap. Your salary cap's $20.5 million. If she brings in $10 million in market cap on her own, they're all of a sudden working with 50% more money than everybody else because they bring her in and she gets paid on top of it. That's fascinating to me. The Title IX stuff, I think, speaks for itself, right? So this is being administered by schools. Most schools are public schools and certainly are subject to Department of Education laws. Title IX says all investments in athletics have to be equal between men and women. That's not exactly what it says. I know that's not exactly what it says, but that's the thumbnail for the purposes of this argument. That because this is being cast as NIL, revenue sharing, the House NCAA settlement says it's totally fine to pay male athletes more than female athletes because it's a percentage of revenues generated. And right now, men's athletics generates more revenue than women's athletics, and specifically, football generates more revenue than every other sport a school fields puts together at a Division I power conference institution, and even some G5s, JMU certainly that way. So if the football team gets 80% of the NIL money, that's fair because they bring in 80% of the revenue. But it's being administered by a school. It's being administered by a Department of Education compliant organization. You're going to have a lawsuit and you're going to have one quickly that says school money has to be subject to Title IX. Now, we'll see. Obviously, in the current administration, I think they'll put their foot down pretty quickly and say, that's not what we intend. That's not what we mean. But we're not done yet. So we're continuing to have this chaos. But for the first time this fall, this was the announcement Friday night. And this was a big, 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 big announcement for the future of college sports. For the first time ever, college athletes will be paid by the schools directly. Not employees, not subject to Title IX. All right, those are the two things that will get legal challenges here and we'll get them quickly. But for right now, college athletes can get paid. We're going to talk about what it means to the local schools. I'm going to tell you how much money VCU is going to put out of its VCU school budget into the basketball team this year. It's a big number. They're going to try to hang with the big boys. We'll talk about potential advantages. I want to spend a little time on this morning. We'll get into everything else as well. You're listening to 910-5-1 FM. I'm MP, Michael Phillips, and you can reach me on Twitter, Michael P. in RVA, the artist formerly known as Twitter. If you want to weigh in on everything we're discussing this morning, we take you up till noon. AWOD Radio takes over. That's Adam Epstein, and he's got a lot to say about everything going on in the world of sports. Grant and Danny will drive you home. And if it's not a Monday, you'll get Flying Squirrels Baseball. When it's a Monday, you get CBS Sports National Program, which is great as well. Less chance of the Squirrels losing when that happens. Squirrels at home all week long. Go out, support the boys of summer, or at least support the Squirrels organization, even if you're not supporting the individual team itself, per se. We're going deep today on this settlement that was approved over the weekend, House v. NCAA, which says for the first time schools can pay student athletes directly. And I say student athletes because they're not classified as employees. They're not classified as professional athletes. They don't get health insurance. They don't get workers' comp, nothing like that. They're very much still under scholarship. Scholarship kids playing a sport and now getting paid for the value they bring their school in it. If you missed the first segment, go to the Odyssey app or our podcast later today. Here, I want to get into how this impacts our local schools. And I say local, obviously we have UVA and Tech as well. They're a little bit down the road, but it's certainly something we think about a lot. It's, you know, Hokie football especially. Now, the first thing is this creates a huge hole in everybody's budget because $20.5 million is the cap on revenue share this year. Tech and UVA are both going to share at the full amount, $20.5 million. I don't know if you've ever budgeted for a large organization, but I can tell you if you have, you generally don't leave $20 million budget holes every year and just count on other things to show up to fill them in later on. So Tech and UVA both have some serious fundraising to do. They've been fundraising in the NIL space, but now athletes are very much going to expect these payments from the schools because they're eligible for them. Because if they don't get them, they're going to go elsewhere. So you're going to see a budget crunch and a fundraising blitz here over the next couple years because coaches aren't going to take pay cuts. ADs aren't going to take pay cuts. Those facilities aren't going to stop building themselves. This is something that is going to be a new budget line item for a lot of schools, and a lot of schools are not interested in cutting $20.5 million to make room for it. UVA, it's certainly the case. Tech, that's certainly the case. JMU probably isn't going to play at that level, but is certainly going to be competitive in this space as it sees itself getting bigger and bigger. Now, we'll get to VCU in a minute. For Virginia Tech, they put out a letter from Danny White. He's the Executive Associate Athletic Director. It says, on Friday evening, Judge Wilkin gave her final approval. I want to assure you, Virginia Tech Athletics is fully committed to making the necessary adjustments to keep our varsity programs competitive now and in the future. To provide you that clarity, Whit Babcock, Athletic Director, and Bill Roth, Radio Voice, will release an exclusive sit-down interview to shed light on the direct impact of the settlement. That will happen this upcoming week via our website. What is clear from this? Hokie Club support will now be more critical than ever before. Blah, blah, blah. Please give us money. We appreciate your patience as our industry has undergone significant changes. We are thankful for the most loyal fan base in the country. Virginia Tech also knows our competitors are not backing down this time, and neither are we. We're going to continue to need your loyalty, generosity, and steadfast support to move forward and upward in the coming years. Always forward, forward, twirling towards progress. Is that a plan? I don't think that's a plan. That's a fundraising pitch. Hey, we're going to need money because the players want money. We have a plan. We will share it with you this week because we were totally not caught off guard by this at all, this thing that's been multiple weeks in the making. We just rather put out that interview sometime this week. So the Hokies have the clearest path forward of anybody, in my opinion. They need to take all of this money, and you know, presuming they raise a full $20.5 million, they need to take every last drop of it and make a really good football team. Their situation is fully cut and dry. They need to spend $20.5 million to build a great football team every year. I know there are Tech basketball fans. I know Tech baseball has been doing good things in recent years. Tech softball has legends, man, legit legends who have been through Blacksburg. It doesn't matter. Wrestling has been very good. Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to Virginia Tech is the football program being top 25 good every year. That is what makes the university. That is what brings the alumni back. That is what brings the revenue. That is what gets Lane Stadium jumping in or Sandman. That is what gets you ultimately into the SEC or Big Ten when the ACC goes kaput in a few years. If you're not relevant at football, you offer nothing to the SEC and the Big Ten. They just don't care beyond that. You've got to be relevant year in and year out in football. We talk about that a lot on this program. So I think Tech's path forward is the easiest one. Raise the money, spend the money on football players. Get really good at football. Things are more complicated at UVA. Because UVA genuinely, and this is a thing Tech fans laugh about, and I get why Tech fans laugh about this, but I believe UVA fans should actually be proud of this. UVA has broad-based athletic support that goes beyond football. Obviously, Tony Bennett in basketball. Now, Ryan Odom, who I think will field a very good team there. But I mean downwind. Brian O'Connor left, but that baseball team has been to Omaha many times recently. Women's basketball, tradition of success with Debbie Ryan. Of course, it's been sleeping for a while, but it could wake up. But even on down, lacrosse powerhouse, certainly if we're talking about the nation's best lacrosse programs over the last 20 years, Virginia is a part of that discussion, you know, multiple national titles during that time. Swimming, they produce Olympians, right? You don't want to stop doing that. Producing Olympians does not directly correlate to UVA making revenue. It really doesn't. You know, you're just never going to sell 30,000 tickets to a swim meet. But it's an unquantifiable thing, and particularly at a school, UVA, that prides itself on the Thomas Jefferson thing, the educational thing, the, you know, shining city of light on the hill democracy beacon thing. These are important, non-tangible, non-quantifiable things to have the Olympics happen. Every third person who goes in the pool is wearing UVA swim caps, right? That's not nothing for UVA. That's a big push for their school and for who they are and for their identity. So UVA, you've got a decision to make. The decision is, how hard do you go on football, knowing it's a zero-sum game? Everybody else is going hard on football too, but also it's a big revenue generator, and it's been kind of embarrassing recently, the crowds at Scott Stadium. How much do you say, we're going to double down on everything else we're good at? We're going to give money to the swimmers. We're going to give money to the lacrosse players. We're going to give money to the baseball players, and we're going to be the Stanford of the East, the most well-rounded program in college athletics. I think that's a very defensible spot to be put in as well. If Carla Williams came out and said that, I would nod along with her on this show. I'd say I think that's a reasonable thing to do with that money. Now, when you do that, you forsake football. Where does that leave you among the alumni? Where does that leave you in terms of generating revenue? Where does that leave you in terms of getting picked up by the SEC or by the Big Ten when the ACC goes kaput in 2031, as we all think it's going to? That's a trickier one. And I think Carla's answer is, we need to be good at football at the expense of everything else. And I think we've seen the expense of everything else over the last few years, namely Brian O'Connor and Tony Bennett. It's expensive to be good at football. It's expensive to chase those SEC teams and try to hang at that level. And it's a zero-sum game. The ACC has the same number of football wins available every year that it's had in past years. VCU is fascinating to me. VCU, Ed McLaughlin over there, said they're going to put $5 million into that basketball team. And by the way, I think once this shakes out, once this settles out, if this is administered as they say it's going to be administered, and if this creates spending caps, I do think that will be competitive with just about any school in the nation. Now, we heard that UVA was putting $8-9 million, what is it, $7 million? I think $7 million into his basketball team this year, might have been more. I hear a lot of rumors. I hear a lot of numbers. Bottom line, they're spending more this year, but when you go to the salary cap, you really can't anymore unless this enforcement arm is just totally weak and allows any NIL deals to pass through. So, and of course, let's just put this out of the way here. Kids are going to continue to get paid under the table. It's what happens in college sports. If there's a system where there's incentive to cheat to win, somebody's going to cheat to win. And in this new system, somebody's going to cheat to win. I don't think it'll be UVA, but somebody's going to. But for VCU, they are not burned with the football program. And I think them, the Big East schools, Dayton, St. Louis, I think potentially have a path to be really good and really relevant in men's basketball through this. Now, where's the money coming from? That is a big question. Ed McLaughlin's going to have to answer that ultimately. As we know, the students underwrite a decent chunk of the athletic department there through student fees. And so certainly it would be disappointing to see these students have to bear a bigger cost. But at the same time, when you win in basketball, more students come your way. It's a marketing arm for the school. They got a great hire in Phil Martelli Jr. They're going to want to do what it takes to keep him there. I think there's definitely potential for VCU in this new world to be really good / top mid-major kind of situation. But there's a lot of schools that are going to be doing this. Gonzaga will presumably do this. As I mentioned, all the Big East schools and some of the A-10 schools too. So it's not, these are not the only schools figured this out. It will still be a competitive space. But I'll be fascinated to see what the next years look like, if the enforcement's legit, if the lawsuits hold up and say this is a legal system, what the next few years look like. And I think VCU's got the chance to be good in that new system. We spent a lot of time today. We're talking about college sports, House v NCAA settlement. We'll get to everything else as well. Don't you worry. We're holding it down 10 to noon here. AWOD takes over and we're done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. That was a lot of talk about the future of college sports. Thanks for hanging in there for that. Because I think sometimes things happen and they get swept under the rug because it's Monday and that was Friday night. That was so long ago. And the French Open happened and the NBA thing happened and the NHL thing happened and all the things happened. The college softball thing happened, which was pretty cool. Three-game series there. Texas, your national champs. A lot of things happen, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I don't want this to just go by unnoted. We talked about it back when it felt like it was going to happen, but it was very much with that caveat, right? Like, I talk about the RFK Stadium all the time like it's a done deal, because I really do think it is a done deal. This one was a little more tentative, though, like, if the judge approves it, and then we add the caveats today, if the judges sign off on it, probably the Supreme Court is going to have to rule on whether Title IX applies to schools paying athletes for name, image, and likeness. And at some point, the Supreme Court is going to have to rule on whether schools paying athletes for their name, image, and likeness makes them employees and all the complications that go from there. And at some point, they're going to have to decide on whether or not they should be collectively bargained for in light of all those facts. Those are all things that are coming down the line. We see different organizations and groups, right? Like the video game collective that you know, is gathering up everybody's NIL to sell it for the video games and distributing their shares of it, and how popular that was and how excited people are to be playing the video game with the actual college players' names in it. And there's going to be a lot more of that. It's going to shake down in the years to come. One thing that I don't mind glossing over is the Squirrels losing, as they did on Saturday night. Don't worry about that. Doesn't impact your life one tiny little bit. Squirrels back home starting tomorrow night. You'll hear them all week long right here on 910 The Fan. The other thing is, I am curious about the future of college sports, broadly speaking, because football is already so professionalized. College football, they live in separate dorms, they have separate cafeterias, they have separate training centers, and obviously none of that is going to go away now that they're making, you know, the team's making $15 million a year collectively. That's just going to accelerate the previous trends. But are we going to see colleges cut cross-country programs, track programs, volleyball programs to continue to spend more money on football and basketball, now that it is truly a zero-sum game in this $21 million, the $20.5 million? We'll see what happens, but I think you'll see some budget cuts around the world. The other thing that I saw that amused me over the weekend, and credit to the algorithm. I mean, Elon, he's got some nasty personal fights right now. Very, very nasty. But he's still making time to perfect the algorithm, so respect to Elon. They know I love people who post the graphics like the future of college sports, and it's like realigning all the teams into conferences. What I love about all of them is they assume there will be either the same or more number of conferences, which I'm here to tell you is completely untrue. That's just not a thing that's going to happen. It's going to be a smaller number of conferences when this shakes out. And I think potentially it could just be the Big Ten and SEC having their own college football league and everybody else finally throwing in the towel and saying, we can't compete and we're going to compete one level below you guys. It would not surprise me if that happened. And by the way, that game and that series would still have some juice. If you add, you know, a one AAA or whatever, so if you have 1A and it's Big Ten and SEC, 1AA and it's ACC, Big 12, Sun Belt, you know, American, all that, and then, you know, it below that, would, you know, your new tier of what's known as the FCS now, I think that game would still have a ton of juice, right? You know, you're Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, West Virginia, Arizona. You still got some big name programs in there. Navy's been pretty good in recent years. I think there's still enough juice there to have something. Of course, none of it is my solution, which is and remains promotion and relegation forever and always. I want all of those things. The European model of soccer fits perfectly in college football in America right now in 2025. Give me promotion and relegation into and out of the regional super conferences. And then on top of that, you know, transfer fees, I forget what they call it exactly. One player leaves for another bigger team. That team's got to compensate the team that developed him in addition to paying the player. I just think that works perfectly on top of this model. Now, the teams at the top are never going to go for that because there's the threat they could lose their spot at the top. But I think that it fits perfectly right now. Also, I'm going to need Adam or somebody, Zach, George, somebody to explain to me the Crystal Palace situation, because that's Josh Harris's team, so we roll with them. Josh Harris, of course, owns the Commanders, but also owns basically a team in every sport. That's Josh Harris's thing, and by the way, they are in the middle of it right now. So they won the FA Cup. Here's how I understand. I'll run this by AWOD during crosstalk. Here's how I understand this. They won the FA Cup, which is a very, very prestigious soccer tournament. The first time they've ever done something that big in the club's history. Shout out to Josh Harris. Wonderful moment. But they are they're eligible for the Europa League, Europe's finest, or some of Europe's finest football clubs. But the guy who owns Crystal Palace, like who owns a big share of it, also owns a big share of another team in France that's also in Europa League. And so, yeah, that's the punchline, European. You know the joke. So that's what's holding this up, is they're not eligible to be a part of Europa League because, and this is totally fair, you can't own two teams in the same soccer league. And so they're fighting over whether or not they can put the team in a blind trust. There's apparently a deadline for that. They apparently missed the deadline. Blah, blah, blah. Can they sell the team? We don't know. Of course, this is, you know, everybody's got all sorts of thoughts about this because it's international soccer. So everybody's got all sorts of thoughts about that. We're pulling for Josh Harris. That's our guy. But also, what a crazy situation to be in over there. So we'll figure all that out. We'll report back on that in the coming days. I want that complexity here, I guess is what I'm saying. I want promotion, relegation, side tournaments, all those things in American college football, because I think it would fit perfectly. And I would watch the crap out of a game where Vanderbilt is playing against Kentucky and the loser is in the Sun Belt next year. You're telling me you wouldn't watch that? I would watch that all day long, and I would love it as a college sports fan. So it's not, it's easy. It's an easy fix. But we have the system. The system's been upended. House v. NCAA approved Friday night, 10 p.m., the ultimate news dump. And we march forward, and we see what the future brings. What we know for sure, Hokie football, UVA football, you can catch them. Hokie football right here, UVA football over on our sister station 1140, and then VCU basketball. They're going to put some money into this thing. They're going to make it sing with Phil Martelli. I'm fired up for that. I think it's going to be a great season ahead for the Rams. We got a little more show for you. We'll do that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan now at 105.1 FM. Rolling along on this Monday morning. Let's set the table for the Commanders. Are we going to go a whole hour on this radio program and not mention the Commanders? No, we're not going to do it. We can't do it. We will not do it. We refuse to do it. Always appreciate the Junkies doing Commanders talk. OTAs on tap all week long up here. Sorry, mini camp. OTAs are over. It's not optional anymore. It's a mini camp this week. We have survived the Terry McLaurin debate of early June 2025. Everybody understands he's not going to be there this week, and it doesn't mean anything. They're going to get this deal done. Nobody needs to panic. Nobody's panicking here. It was Will Ferrell, and was Semi-Pro, is that the name of it? The last thing we need for anybody here to panic. Nobody's panicking. Only people who are panicking are external. This deal's going to get done. Terry McLaurin's going to be a Commander. There's too much on the line for both sides. And even teasing this out to the extent where, like, it gets really ugly, they can make Terry play this season because you're not getting younger. Every year he gets older is a year that contract extension becomes less and less valuable. On the other hand, all that dude does crank out 1,000-yard receiving seasons. It is amazing. He is a machine. And they need him. They know they need him. His leverage is they know that this is a team that is still trying to find its image, find its mark in the community. And he helps them with that because people like rooting for Terry McLaurin. And there aren't a ton of people who that's the case for on this team. And there will be, right? And we're building towards that. Dan Quinn, Jane Daniels, Bobby Wagner, like they've added a lot of those guys. But for a long time, this was not a team to be proud of. And that's something that Terry McLaurin brings to the table. I love our guy Grant Paulson. Grant and Danny's on at 3 o'clock, by the way. Grant was throwing shade. Roto World did its top NFL general manager rankings. They ranked the top 10 general managers in the NFL. And they got number one correct, Howie Roseman of the Eagles, of course. Brett Veach in Kansas City, number two. He's fantastic. And the top five is all very good. Les Snead with the Rams, Eric DaCosta with the Ravens, and Brian Gutekunst in Green Bay with the Packers. And then it goes on from there. Guess who's not in the top 10? Grant's throwing shade here. Commanders GM Adam Peters is batting 1,000. I guess he needs more than 1 year to crack this list. Adam Peters is great. I am so happy he's our general manager. He is not batting 1,000, though, by the way, just to be clear. Adam Peters has had some misses and could have more misses in the near future. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. He's not superhuman. He's not hitting on every deal he makes, but he's hit a lot. And he hit on the quarterback, which was the most important thing to hit on. And that speeds up a lot of the rest of it. I think we would all agree, Marshon Lattimore, that deal was a miss at this point. And we're waiting to see on some guys he drafted last year. We're waiting to see on Luke McCaffrey. We're waiting to see on Ben Sinnott. Those are two guys, you know, when I'm on this station, I'm pairing with the other guys, and they say, "Yo, who are you looking for this year? You know, when you're watching minicamp practice, who you're watching for? Is the leap there for Ben Sinnott? Is the leap there for Luke McCaffrey?" Those are two very, very big question marks. By the way, Javon Kinlaw, that signing, that's a question mark as well. That's one the rest of the league scratched its head on. Like, nobody will come out and outwardly be like, "Yo, Adam Peters doesn't know what he's doing, man." That's not the way it works, and that's not the way it's going to work. But it's not a sure thing that he's got anything left in the tank here or can make an impact as an NFL player, certainly not at that salary level. We'll see. That's, you know, in Adam Peters we trust, but he's not batting 1,000. He's had some misses, and I want to see that leap forward from, you know, the two guys, McCaffrey and Sinnott, there catching the ball. I think with Sinnott in particular, it's getting harder and harder to find a good tight end. Tyler Warren, Prada Atlee, congrats to him for cashing in when he cashed in. That's something that, you know, you're going to see a lot more tight ends drafted in the first round, a lot more demand around that position. It's a premium position in the NFL. The salaries just have not caught up with the production at that position. But the Commanders are out there on the field this week for mandatory mini camp. Our first chance to see Laramie Tunsil in a Commanders uniform. We'll bring you his comments when he talks to reporters this week. You'll hear those, maybe even live. We'll see what the schedule is. I've not seen a copy of the schedule. Should see one by the end of the day. If we have live programming needed to, we will, of course, get you to it here. And you know AWADS got all the Commanders news, Richmond Commander, at 1 o'clock each day. America, good weekend for America. French Open, Coco Gauff, who drops the first set, comes back, wins the French Open, gets the number one seed too, which is awesome. Respect to her. Then a little five seed thriller. Alcaraz, man, forcing the, what is it, saved three championship points there in the fourth set. Oryonic Center, man, what a duel. What a great duel out there at the French Open. That was a ton of fun. Washington Capitals want to get a little Caps talk in as we roll through the NHL playoffs, which have been spectacular. The Stanley Cup final has been so good. They've essentially played three games worth of hockey, and they're tied 1-1. They played the full overtime the first night, then a double overtime in game two. Florida escapes Edmonton with the win. Hunker down. That one feels like it's going to seven. If it does, it'll be in Edmonton. Man, yeah, what a fun series that has been so far. We'll follow that one as it gets back to Florida. But I want to talk about Carbs, Spencer Carberry, coach of the Washington Capitals, who was named the NHL Coach of the Year this week, which we love to see. The Jack Adams Award for Spencer Carberry. Full NHL awards honors will be later this week. They will air before game four. Game four will be on Thursday night. Just making sure I got my dates correctly before I tell you those things. Game four, Thursday night. You'll get a chance to see that on TNT before the Stanley Cup Final. Game four, Spencer Carberry, winner of Coach of the Year. Excited to see what that team looks like next year for the OV Farewell Tour. I love when our guys win things. Very well-deserved Coach of the Year, that's for sure. That is an awesome honor, and he lifted that team well above expectations this year. We'll talk about college sports. We'll talk about the French Open. We'll talk about the NBA, everything else in the world of sports. We'll send you off to A1 Radio when we feel good and ready at noon. Hour number two on deck. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.